Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out in the day to begin with inspiration, to talk a bit about current events, and to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is October 18th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 114. Thank you for joining me. I'd also like to give a shout-out to my two sisters. Happy birthday to you. And I would like to remind everyone that this is simply a study session, and any listeners must consult their healthcare provider. Don't forget to go to Blog Talk Radio, Who's Reading the Organon, and click to listen to friend, favorite, and comment. If you're a member of HWC, you may post your comments live on the live chat, and we will read the comments over the air. For those who are unable to be there live, we have downloads that you can download to your computer, iTunes, or iPod of the archives. I'd also like to tell you about some news in the scheduling of shows. We're changing the schedule from 5 days a week to 3 days a week for Who's Reading the Organon as we read the Organon and continue our study sessions. And on that will continue on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesdays. On Wednesday, we will begin a new show about caring and growing your garden using homeopathy with co-host Kaviraj, a HWC member and agro-homeopath. On Thursdays, we also begin another new series that will be Vaccinations and Your Rights with co-host Alan Phillips, attorney at law. I'm really looking forward to the new scheduling and excited to get that started this week. Our inspirational quotes come from Twitter. There's a woman named Gina Stark. Her Twitter name is Super G. She retweets Live Talk. If you want to feel rich, just count all the things you have that money can't buy. What a beautiful thought. And that goes for all of those lovely people in your life, your friends, your family, your relatives, your neighbors, your community members. No one can put a value on that. Another inspiration comes from Lyle Hawkins via Jeanette Joy. She quotes Lee Salk, "When it gets dark enough, you can see the stars." I wonder what we could talk about with that quote. It opens up a whole new vista. Lyle also retweets Jessica Northey, who quotes Bill Cosby, "Always end the name of your child with a vowel, so that when you yell the name, will carry." And I really did think about that for a while. I started to say some names out loud to myself and see if that worked. So try it. Name your child and see how you would call them from out playing in the street to come in to dinner. And there's one more quote for today, and that comes from also on Twitter. It says, "Failure takes the path of least persistence." This is a retweet by Kirk 8888, and the quote comes from George M. Van Valkenburg Jr., who was born in 1938. He's a writer, speaker, businessman, entrepreneur, and inventor. And I did a little research and found out that if you really wanted to contact this person, George Van Valkenburg Jr., you could, because he's on LinkedIn. And it's really a lot of fun to think, oh, I'm always quoting these classics, you know, Mark Twain and Aristotle and all these other great authors and inventors and people in literature. But we actually have contemporaries who say the most inviting and beautiful words. And it's fascinating to think and exciting to think that you could actually talk with them in person today. Also on the network, on HWC, we have an article written by Dr. Shalandra Momgane, who talks about homeopathy for domestic animals. He gives a presentation of cases for animals such as cows, bullocks, buffaloes, dogs, and goats. Many times he has treated all of these types of animals, and the beauty of homeopathic treatment is that we do no harm on animals when we are testing our remedies. So he has four cases presented to us: distemper in a dog, beriberi in a buffalo, rabies-like symptoms in a pet, Pomeranian, mouth and foot disease of cows, and pneumonia in a cow. So take a look at that and find out how he approached those cases and how you can learn about treating animals. I bring this up because there is a new article that the United Nations declared that a virus deadly in livestock is no more. And this is an article by Donald McNeil Jr. Rinderpest, which means cattle plague in German, does not infect humans, though it belongs to the same viral family as measles. But for millenniums in Asia, Europe, and Africa, it wiped out cattle, water buffalo, yaks, and other animals needed for meat, milk, plowing, and cart pulling. Its mortality rate is about 80%, higher even than smallpox, the only other disease ever eliminated. This is something the entire global community can be proud of, said Dr. William M. White, director of the United States Department of Agriculture's Foreign Animal Disease Diagnostic Laboratory on Plum Island, New York. Rinderpest has caused almost unimaginable misery for a long time. So this article goes on at length about the history of the disease, about this remarkable achievement, how the disease originated in prehistoric animals that were being traded in Egypt 5,000 years ago, and how it is in contemporary life. Issues about slaughter, quarantine, and crude immunization efforts, and inoculations, such as with smallpox. How does this pertain to us as homeopaths? Do we believe that this is a virus or a communicable disease? Is this an epidemic in some way? Is it just the life cycle of this disease? As we know, the diseases come in a wave, and is it truly something that has been eliminated based on treatment by the medical community? I'd like to hear your opinions on that. And there's one other article in the news today by Gina Colada from the New York Times, who writes, "When drugs cause problems, they are supposed to prevent." And at length, I have been talking considerably about Fosamax, about bisphosphonates, which are used supposedly to treat osteoporosis. However, more commonly, they are causing brittle fractures, unexpected hip and spine breakage, and thinning of bone tissue, loss of bone density is what it's supposed to be curing. And the problem is that we're hearing too many stories now of people who are just walking around and they fall to the ground with these breakages. The other drugs that we are concerned about, besides the Fosamax, Actinel, and Bonvita, is Avandia, which is really in the news, that's supposedly prescribed to help diabetics. And the problem with that is by taking this drug, those diabetics are at much higher risk for heart disease and heart failure. Two-thirds of diabetics die of heart problems, and the main reason for taking drugs like Avandia is to protect them from that. So the problem is that the FDA is taking a new look at what to do about passing through these drugs. The drug regulators in Europe are already restricting Avandia's use because of the increase in heart disease. In the case of bisphosphonates, the benefits for people with osteoporosis, they say, still outweighs the risk. But I think that it should be up to the individual patient to just make a decision for themselves with as many facts and all of the knowledge in hand. The fact remains that with decades of using drugs to treat chronic diseases, the unexpected can occur. And I think that the FDA, the pushing through drugs more quickly and rapidly just to get a drug into market is now being questioned. The population is aging, and many people have chronic diseases. There are companies and pharmaceutical companies that are going to be targeted now who are using this population to heavily advertise the drugs to be taken for a lifetime. And this is most likely reported in the newer articles in the health sections of your newspapers, journals, magazines, and also in the new book, Black Hat, White Coat by Dr. Elliott. I'm looking forward to receiving my copy so that I can learn about that. Also, it seems as if the pharmaceutical agencies and the FDA are admitting to wide-scale institutional failure. They have placed resources and requirements on pre-market assessment of drugs and not enough on the post-market. What happens after people have been taking these drugs at length for a long time? Is there enough supervision and recording and documentation of what happens to individuals who are taking these drugs for decades? So this is a really great article to take a look at and make your comments. I will be posting the link. Dr. Rosen says that there has to be a better system, and maybe you would agree with that. We have a little bit of time left to talk about our reading of the Organon. I will refresh where we were, because it seems like when we have a large break of a few days, we need a refresher to build up to where we are going in the future. Last time we read Organon's aphorism number 102, which states, in the course of writing down the symptoms of several cases of this kind, the sketch of the disease picture becomes ever more and more complete, not more spun out and verbose, but more significant, more characteristic, and including more of the peculiarities of this collective disease. On the one hand, the general symptoms, for instance, loss of appetite, sleeplessness, become precisely defined as to their peculiarities. And on the other hand, the more marked and special symptoms, which are peculiar to but few diseases of rarer occurrence, at least in the same combination, become prominent and constitute what is characteristic of this malady. That is the aphorism number 102. There is a footnote which states, all those affected with the disease prevailing at a given time have certainly contracted it from one and the same source and hence are suffering from the same disease. But the whole extent of such an epidemic disease and the totality of its symptoms, the knowledge whereof, which is essential for enabling us to choose the most suitable homeopathic remedy for this array of symptoms, is obtained by a complete survey of the morbid picture, cannot be learned from one single patient, but is only to be perfectly deduced, abstracted, and ascertained from the sufferings of several patients of different constitutions. What is Hahnemann telling us here? We have been talking about in previous aphorism number 101 about taking the case, and more specifically, what happens when there are many people in an area who are coming down with similar symptoms. Is this an epidemic? Is this contagious disease that is showing itself through the symptoms? And he says that you're going to be looking for peculiar, remarkable, specific symptoms that express this contagious disease. Like, you would understand when these particular combination of symptoms appear as concomitants, then this is showing that this is an epidemic. And then you might be able to find a remedy that will cover this, or a couple of remedies that will cover these symptoms for the majority of people, for the neighborhood, the community, and downgrade the spread, of course, taking traditional measures of care such as sanitary conditions, isolating yourself, staying away from public places, washing your hands and your face, because contagious diseases typically are spread through the mucosa. You want to use tissues and keep everything clean, take care and rest, do everything you can to boost your immune system. Today we're learning about vitamin D, sunlight, and all the ways that you can reduce the spread of any kind of epidemic disease. But Hahnemann is teaching us that it depends for the homeopath to take a broad view and to have a blank open slate as the patient comes into the office, to the diagnostic room, and take all the notes that you would on a regular case and be completely thorough and note anything that is strange, rare, and peculiar to this collective disease. And therefore, he tells us, we're going to need to see a number of patients coming in with similar symptoms to diagnose this as a contagious epidemic episode. We're going to go ahead with the reading for aphorism number 103, which was the one that was posted for today. It reads, in the same manner as has here been taught relative to the epidemic diseases, which are generally of an acute character, the miasmatic chronic maladies, which, as I have shown, always remain the same in their essential nature, especially the sora, must be investigated as to the whole sphere of their symptoms in a much more minute manner than has ever been done before. For in them also one patient only exhibits a portion of their symptoms, a second, a third, and so on, present some other symptoms, which are also but a dissevered, as it were, portion of the totality of the symptoms, which constitute the entire extent of this malady, so that the whole array of the symptoms belonging to such a miasmatic chronic disease, and especially to the sora, can only be ascertained from the observation of very many single patients affected with such a chronic disease. And without a complete survey and collective picture of these symptoms, the medicines capable of curing the whole malady homeopathically, to wit, the antisorics, cannot be discovered. And these medicines are, at the same time, the true remedies of the several patients suffering from such chronic affections. Here, Hahnemann is putting together the last number of aphorisms, aphorism 100, 101, 2, and 3, which we have just been reading, which is indicating that we have to be an unbiased observer, that we have to take it case by case, and that we need more than just one individual case to put the entire picture together. It's almost as if there is this huge puzzle, and to see it unfold, you know, what's flipping over, what's behind door number one, door number two, door number three, or what is it, Wheel of Fortune, where you're getting word for word until you complete the whole sentence. You don't have the whole picture by seeing just one person who has his or her own peculiar way of reacting, responding, sensitivities, hypersensitivities, and physical, outward, and emotional, mental expression of reaction to a disease. Whereas when you put the whole picture of a multiplicity of patients and the way they're reacting to a similar, and he's calling this specifically a chronic epidemic disease, not something that is a one-time acute character, acute nature, but this is something that is very deep-seated, something that is throughout the lifetime of the individual and how it is expressed. So he is saying that you need to be observant of the collective picture. Take all of the pieces of the puzzle together until you can see the totality, the whole of the communicable, the community's contagious disease. It's not just one person who has an acute flare-up. It is the entire community that is reacting, and each part of this is a totality. And we talked before in one of the much earlier Organon lessons about observing that elephant, that there are so many blind people and they're touching the different parts of the elephant and they're saying it looks like this, 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 or this. And yet, when you put all of them together, you can see the entire beast. You can see the entire animal of what it is. So it needs to be shared. And in fact, many homeopaths will share their knowledge, will talk about what's going on in their region so that they can speak to each other about and communicate about the different symptoms that are showing up and put the entire totality of the picture together. So he says here, without a complete survey and a collective picture of these symptoms, the medicines capable of curing the whole malady homeopathically cannot be discovered. Therefore, it's possible that you can help an individual, you can take care of part of the disease, but the deep-seated antipsychotics are the ones that's going to cover the totality of the symptoms, the totality of the case to really alleviate and ameliorate this disease. There have been no comments on the live chat today. I hope a bunch of you are listening. And I will put up a blog in the BTR, Who's Reading the Organon group on HWC, so you can further this conversation. We'll go ahead and read Organon aphorism number 104. Hahnemann states, when the totality of the symptoms that specially mark and distinguish the case of disease, or in other words, when the picture of the disease, whatever be its kind, is once accurately sketched, the most difficult part of the task is accomplished. The physician has then the picture of the disease, especially if it be a chronic one, always before him to guide him in his treatment. He can investigate it in all its parts and can pick out the characteristic symptoms in order to oppose to these, that is to say, to the whole malady itself, a very similar artificial morbific force in the shape of a homeopathically chosen medicinal substance selected from the lists of symptoms of all the medicines whose pure effects have been ascertained. And when, during the treatment, he wishes to ascertain what has been the effect of the medicine and what change has taken place in the patient's state. At this fresh examination of the patient, he only needs to strike out of the list of the symptoms noted down at the first visit those that have become ameliorated, to mark what still remain and add any new symptoms that may have supervened. So, and I believe that there is a footnote to this, and that is, let's see, we're reading aphorism number 104. So the footnote states, the old school physician gave himself very little trouble in this matter in his mode of treatment. He would not listen to any minute detail of all the circumstances of his case by the patient. Indeed, he frequently cut him short in his relation of his sufferings, in order that he might not be delayed in the rapid writing of his prescription, composed of a variety of ingredients unknown to him in their true effects. No allopathic physician, as has been said, sought to learn all the minute circumstances of the patient's case, and still less did he make a note in writing of them. On seeing the patient again several days afterwards, he recollected nothing concerning the few details he had heard at the first visit, having in the meantime seen so many other patients laboring under different affections. He had allowed everything to go in at one ear and out at the other. At subsequent visits, he only asked a few general questions, went through the ceremony of feeling the pulse of the wrist, looked at the tongue, and at the same moment wrote another prescription on equally irrational principles, or ordered the first one to be continued in considerable quantities several times a day. And with a graceful bow, hurried off to the 50th or 60th patient he had to visit in this thoughtless way in the course of that forenoon. The profession, which of all others requires actually the most reflection, a conscientious, careful examination of the state of each individual patient, and a special treatment founded thereon, was conducted in this manner by persons who called themselves physicians, rational practitioners. The result, as might naturally be expected, was almost invariably bad, and yet patients had to go to them for advice, partly because there were none better to be had, partly for fashion's sake. This is quite an amazing aphorism, quite an amazing footnote said by Hahnemann hundreds of years ago, because it's as if he's talking in the present tense. It's as if he's talking about the pressure on physicians to see their patient in 5 or 10 minutes or less, to rapidly get through them, to give them a pill, a prescription, to say, take this and you'll feel, call me in the morning, take these two pills. He's almost as if saying, back then physicians were in HMOs and they were under great strain and pressure to just give something to ameliorate the symptoms. We will refresh aphorism number 104 tomorrow, because there's a lot to talk about here in this particular aphorism. Our time is up, and I appreciate everyone for listening today. Please take your Organon off the shelf and read it. And we're going to close with it.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.